Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, talking about those Colorado Rockies. Some not so great news about Hunter Goodman's health. One of the Montford children gets a promotion. So much more. Game one against the Brewers on Friday night does not go the Rockies' way. They lose 10-6. Rockies now in the midst of a four-game losing streak and are now, all of a sudden, after what was such a really good string of play to start the month of June, including seven road wins, they are now 1-7 over their last eight. Kyle Freeland came off the 15-day injured list to make the start on Friday, as expected, and right-handed reliever slash AAA starting pitcher Anthony Molina was optioned actually after Thursday's game. Freeland looked solid through the first three innings. Manager Warren Schaefer liked what he saw in Freeland's first start off the IL. There was one big swing by Jackson Chourio that put a bunch on the board. There were some other things than that. So that six-run fourth inning was really what did Freeland in. Doesn't go beyond that. Only throws 67 pitches, but a lot of those thrown there in that fourth inning. So additional stress. So 67, not a high total, but with, you know, close to half those pitches, or maybe not exactly, but when you throw that many in an inning, those high stress innings can do just as much damage as a large quantity of pitches. It's a severe quality of pitches that can do just as much damage as going over 100 in a game. So the offense, you know, battled back, which was nice to see. They had a 6-1 stretch, you know, after going down 6-0 in the fourth inning. So they battled back for three and they kind of chipped away. That one run that the Brewers got in that stretch did come in the fifth inning when Hergett balked with a runner on third base. But Rollison and Bird ended up coming in to give up three runs. So that's 7-6 score where it looked close and the Rockies were going to have a little bit more fight and maybe a chance to win. That did get washed away with the Rollison and Bird outings. And the Rockies get four runs against Jose Quintana, who is a rather good starting pitcher still to this day. He has aged rather well. Jordan Beck went 2-for-4 with a double. You saw Ryan Ritter pull through with an RBI double when they needed it. Tyro Estrada continues to play pretty well at the plate, 3-for-5, 2 RBI. And Braxton Fulford went 3-for-4 with 3 RBI, probably surprised that Goodman wasn't in the starting lineup because he was also out of the lineup on Thursday. Now, the Rockies have been trying to give Goodman a little bit more time off because this is the most he's ever caught in a single season, and we're not even in the dog days of summer yet, so they're going to have to find him true days off, not just days in which he is the designated hitter. But Goodman does have a bit of a cramping issue, a hamstring tightness, according to Warren Schaefer. So the Rockies ended up having to go down a man with him unavailable off the bench. Not sure if he would have been able to hit, maybe. You probably don't want to force a situation like that. But Kyle Farmer, because you lost one of your two catchers, was the backup catcher on Friday. Normally, he's the third string catcher, the emergency catcher, and is almost never going to be used. But he was on deck all game, so to speak, on Friday in case something happened to Fulford. If you didn't know, Kyle Farmer hasn't caught since 2019, but does have 19 games behind the dish in the majors as the catcher before he made his debut with the Dodgers. And even after that, 333 games as a catcher in the minors, and none of those have come after 2019. It got me thinking, hey, wait a minute, Kyle Farmer is the reverse Tony Walters, who was a middle infielder that became a catcher, and Kyle Farmer's a catcher that became a middle infielder. And I was surprised to learn that Tony Walters is almost 2 years younger than Kyle Farmer, and he hasn't played a game in the majors since 2022. Do you remember who he played with last in the majors? If you guessed the Los Angeles Dodgers, you would be correct. Also, before, and I put this in my notes as before anything, but I've already got into the show a little bit. If you hear this as soon as it drops at 5 a.m., which is usually when I drop these, although some Saturdays I'll drop it at 7 a.m. Anyway, I'm going to put this one out at 5 a.m. to give you a chance, because Shohei Ohtani will be starting for the Dodgers in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium against the Royals. So if you're interested to make the trek to KC, you've got an opportunity right now, like right now, to make it happen. It's a 2:10 Mountain Time game. So it's 1:10 KC time. You're going to lose an hour when you travel. So you might as well just book that flight as you are driving to the airport. So let's get back to business here. Let's get to the, back to the matter of the Rockies and the injuries, which are unfortunate. Ryan Feltner, who did have a rehab start on June 21st for AAA, also ended up throwing on Friday night. Not good. He went 3 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs. 5 of them were earned, 4 walks, and only 3 strikeouts. Those are the biggest ones you don't like. Those are the biggest boo-boos, the 4 walks, more than only 3 strikeouts. It's one of the better AAA clubs in the Las Vegas Aviators, the top affiliate for the Athletics. But still, you know, he's rehabbing. He's just working on things. Consider it like a spring training start where, okay, yeah, the numbers aren't great. It doesn't matter all that much. If it makes you feel any better, Nick Martini did start 0-for-2 against Ryan Feltner. So there is that. Tanner Gordon also threw the first of 2 schedule rehab starts for the Isotopes. He pitched earlier in the week against the Aviators, 3 1/3 innings pitch, only allowed 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 strikeouts. He'll pitch again on Sunday. Also in this Brewer series, do the Rockies lose this first game on Friday, 10-6. Keep an eye on Isaac Collins. I think I talked about him last time when the Brewers were in town, but Isaac Collins was a 2019 pick out of Creighton University, a 9th rounder drafted by the Rockies. And, you know, he had a lackluster season in 2022, and that's why the Rockies did not put him on the AAA roster. So he was selected in December of 2022 at that year's winter meetings. Where was the 2022 winter meetings? Now that I think about it, was it San Diego again? Yeah, I think it was. It was at San Diego. But yeah, selected in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. And after that, you know, down season with Hartford in AA in 2022. He repeated AA in 2023, but this time it was actually in the Southern League with the Biloxi Shuckers. It was much better than the following season in 2024 with AAA Nashville. Posted a career-high 14 homers, 76 RBI, was able to make his major league debut. He didn't steal as many as his career-high, but did get 24 stolen bases in 2024. And he only got caught stealing 5 times. So while his stolen base totals have dropped every season as a professional, his efficiency has definitely improved. That's something that the Rockies organization, maybe more than some others, like their guys to get caught stealing. Not necessarily get caught stealing, but attempt as many as possible. Learn on the bases. So, you know, you go back and look at what Sam Hilliard did at some of the levels in the minors, and you go, oh my God, this guy, 30 stolen bases, and look at the power he's got. He got caught like, you know, 40% of the time. Like, he didn't have a very good stolen base rate, but that made him an overall better base runner for the future. So that's a good thing to learn from those kind of experiences, which Collins definitely did. And, you know, he could end up with some Rookie of the Year award votes when this season is over. Because when you look at the National League rookies in terms of Baseball Reference's wins above replacement for the position players, it's just Drake Baldwin, the Atlanta's catcher, at 1.9 BWAR. That's higher going into Friday. Isaac Collins at 1.3. So, you know, we'll see what happens. There's still a lot of baseball. There's still 50% of the season, 49% really, if you really want to pick nits. But not to throw salt in the wounds also, by the way, not to throw salt in the wounds, but the worst wins above replacement this season by an NL rookie. It's another second baseman. And it's another Rocky, Adeel Amador, at -1.4. So kind of strange that, and funny, maybe, if you can laugh about it. You got to laugh, especially this season. But the best position player, the best infielder, is Isaac Collins, a Rockies draft pick at 1.3. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Adeel Amador, -1.4. at second base. And I think even though his teammate on the Brewers, Jacob Mizrowski, has made only three starts and has pitched just 16 innings, he's already now, I get random emails from different sites that give me odds on all kinds of weird things. I don't get a ton of them, so that's one of the reasons why I haven't unsubscribed, so they're kind of entertaining. Like, I got one once after the Tom Brady roast on Netflix of who's the next athlete to get roasted. I thought, okay, this is an interesting topic. This is some good fodder for the podcast, which I think I used. But already, Jacob Mizrowski is the probable to win the National League Rookie of the Year award at this point. You know, huge prospect. And, you know, he went toe-to-toe with Paul Skeens, ended up winning that. And he's a guy that's three starts and has three wins. I was texting with some friends about Jacob Mizrowski. He was drafted out of junior college in 2022 in the second round, the 63rd overall pick in the second round. Where were the Rockies? They selected at number 50, and they went with a high school pitcher in Jackson Cox, who did need Tommy John surgery, so that's obviously going to change things a whole bunch. And we haven't seen the Rockies take a high school player at all since then. And even before Jackson Cox, there wasn't a ton of high school pitchers that they had taken. I think Case Williams would have been the last one before that in, say, the fourth round, you know, because he was a Colorado kid, traded him, then they traded getting him back. He has not made it to the majors. Not really sure what's going to be in his future. So those prep arms can be a doozy, and I'll be talking about it here soon. A couple guys that in the draft that could possibly end up with the Rockies with the fourth overall pick. There's been a lot of chat about the Rockies and the MLB draft. They cannot select any higher than the 10th pick next year. So this season, it doesn't matter what they do. If they're good, then shoot. If they were to make the playoffs, if they win the rest of their games, if they win the next 70, well, even if they win the next 70 plus games, they still might not have enough to be a wild card team. But get back on track. If they win 60, 70 more games, okay, so they won't have the worst record, but let's say they have the 13th worst record, then they'll have the 13th pick. But if they are any worse than the 10th worst team, they will not benefit from that at all. 10th is the highest they can pick in next year's draft because of this year. The reason they get the fourth overall pick in the 2025 draft is because of how bad they were last year. They were one of the three worst teams. The worst team in the National League, but how the draft lottery works is the three worst teams basically get the highest percentage. So that's where they get the fourth this year. And then next year, it will be the 10th overall pick. Something else that I had in my notebook was I was thinking about the Dodgers series and how Freeman. I'll rephrase that. Tyler Freeman out Freemaned Freddie Freeman. I don't think that was an improvement on my explanation, but in that series, Freddie Freeman 1-for-14, a single, a walk, 2 runs scored, 1 RBI, 2 strikeouts, where Tyler went 3-for-13, 2 more hits. He had 2 singles. He had a double, so he had 1 more extra base hit. He also walked. He scored 1 more run. He scored 3 times. Had an RBI, but only struck out once. So Freeman out Freeman. That's that. All-Star game. Kyle Raleigh is derby bound. Read this story over on MLB.com. It's pretty cool. His dad, Todd, apparently is going to throw to him during the derby. That worked for Bryce Harper, right, in 2018 in D.C. Apparently, his brother, Todd Jr., son of his father, Todd Sr., confusing, maybe, but his brother, who's only 15, might end up being the catcher for the Derby. I really hope that happens. The article said, like, oh, they're hoping, or he might. I don't know what's going to stand in the way of that. I also do know what might stand in the way of that, but I hope that comes to fruition for a family that was, you know, raised in North Carolina, only about 150 miles from Atlanta. So that would be such a cool story. And then the local guy, so to speak, Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to participate. His very first home run derby, his bullpen catcher, Jose Yepes, is going to serve as Acuna's pitcher. You probably recall back in 2021 when Atlanta was originally supposed to host, Mike Redman pitched to Trevor Story, and then the catcher was one of the bullpen catchers, Aaron Munoz, who was there for Story's home run derby debut, his only home run derby. Acuña is going to aim to be the fourth player to ever win the Derby in his team's home ballpark. That list is Bryce Harper, as I mentioned, in 2018 in Washington. Todd Frazier did it in 2015. And then the first ever in one of the first home run derbies, official ones. I'm not sure what the first year was. It might have been 87, somewhere right in the mid-80s. But Ryan Sandberg did it at Wrigley Field. That was the last time Wrigley Field hosted. That's one of the reasons why after next year, when Philly hosts the All-Star game in 2026, mark my word, I will be there for that one because I was at the All-Star game in 1996 as a kid. So I got to go back 30 years later as a kid and attend that one. But after Philly next year, it's probably going to be Wrigley Field and Rogers Center, not necessarily in that order, in 2027 and 2028. We'll probably get word about that pretty soon as we get closer to the All-Star game. But one of the bigger news in the world of the Rockies that is a big headline grabber, but I don't know how big it really is, especially for anyone who's, I think, listens to the Rockies Insider podcast. And even if this isn't a subject that I don't dive too deep into, because I really try to cover as many things as possible and to dive into a topic when necessary. But if you're listening to the Rockies Insider, you probably listen to a lot of other things and you do a lot of reading. You're aware Dick Monfort owns this team and he is going to give the team to his son. So on Thursday, when the team announces that Walker Monfort is going to be one of the new executive vice presidents, it doesn't really come as a surprise. The chief operating officer and team president, Greg Fiesel, is going to finish out this year before stepping aside. Walker is going to assume Fiesel's responsibilities beginning in next January, beginning at the start of next year. So they're going to collaborate together. It's not clear if Walker Monfort is going to be the team president. I don't think so, but that hasn't been made totally clear in the press release. Are they trying to work around that? I don't think so. But, you know, Walker is a guy that has worked in a lot of different areas of this team to get a, you know, better understanding and has been on the business side of things. You know, he worked a little bit in baseball operations and then on the minor league side before becoming director of corporate partnerships in 2014. So again, that's the business side. Was a part of the Rockies TV initiative in the partnership with Major League Baseball. So the business side of the Rockies is good. It's been good for a while. And I think Walker Monfort can take some credit for that. So from the business standpoint, I think that this decision is fine. We already knew that this organization was going to be given to the children of Dick Monfort and that, you know, they would have to learn the tricks of the trade along the way. And nepotism, sure, but can they still do some good? Possibly. So again, we knew this was going to happen. So yeah, are there bad optics? Sure. But I would also add that, you know, Walker has built a strong enough resume to justify this. This is a position that, you know, I think if he was interviewing in another organization, would he have gotten such a promotion? That's a little bit hard to say. I know when it came down to Sterling Monfort and his role in the baseball operations side of things in the scouting department, that was a bit of a leap. This one, maybe not as much. And it's interesting because talking to Thomas Harding for the Rockies newsletter, go sign up for that. That's free. Thomas does a really awesome job about kind of hitting some of the more important notes for this team and for this season. And in it, Walker Monfort said, quote, "It's a narrative that we don't care about winning, right? Let's be honest, winning baseball games makes everything much easier. That's our goal. That's my family's goal. We wouldn't be involved in it if that wasn't our goal. Part of the step is reiterating that. That is our focus." End quote. So where is the actual plan? It's good to see them acknowledging the issue of losing a lot, because that is an issue, but that's not doing very much. It's just more than what they normally do, right? It's just more than what they normally will address. They don't want to talk about the elephant in the room, but there it is. And they're addressing it, but until they actually address the problem rather than the existence of the problem, then I don't really think we have any solutions or really have anything to celebrate right now. And so that's, in some ways, it's kind of a nothing burger, right? Like it's something, but then you dig into it and you say, well, but what is it? Okay, it's kind of nothing. So we'll wait and see what happens. But, you know, is it a guy who owns a team giving a promotion to his son? Yes. Is it someone who is qualified and has done a good job? Also, yes. Is it going to necessarily change the Rockies' win-loss record this year? No. Is it going to change their win-loss record next year? Also, probably not, because Walker is more of a business side of the operations kind of guy more than he is the baseball side. And the baseball side is where they need the most help. So if they want to continue to promote on the business side of things and be loyal there, I'm more okay with that. I think a lot of fans might be more okay with that because the business side has been fine. There hasn't been really any missteps with that. It's the baseball side of things that the Rockies are seemingly lost. And there is, you know, this narrative that, hey, because we play at altitude and nobody else has, there are things that we know that nobody else knows. Yes. But don't you think maybe a 10-page paper, a 10-page report of here's what we learned, here's the evidence, irrefutable evidence, and now let's go forward. Like, it's not something that I think somebody new that comes in to this organization is going to take years to understand. I think you're going to understand it pretty quickly. Okay, when you go out on the road, all-speed pitches move a lot more than when you're at home. Okay, the outfield is a lot larger, and so more outs become base hits, which extend innings. Okay, when you play at altitude, your body is that much more sore, and that beats up on you over a 162-game slate. Got it. And there are several other nuanced things, right? I'm simplifying it. And even when I simplified it, those are our big hurdles to try to figure out and to counteract, right? The whole issue of playing at altitude. And, you know, I think the travel is really that bad. Like, Seattle year in, year out has the most travel because of where they're at. So yeah, the Rockies have a ton of travel. A lot of teams do. That's not a major thing, being the only team in the time zone. Like, okay, like I don't see how having a team in Salt Lake City is somehow going to improve the situation, right? Or if Kansas City were in their division, and, you know, when we get to expansion, it gets, you know, the divisions get reshuffled. And okay, if it's Colorado, Kansas City, and then the Texas Rangers, and then Houston, now they're not traveling quite as much, and now they got teams, you know, in their time zone. What does time zone have to do with putting together a capable bullpen and having depth in your 40-man system and drafting and developing well and making trades at the trade deadline and not sitting on your hands? That has nothing to do with any of it. So sure, the people who have been with the Rockies for a very long time have learned a lot about what works and what doesn't work. And I think they know a lot more about what doesn't work than what does work. And a new, fresh set of eyes can learn what doesn't work pretty quickly. Put together a PowerPoint presentation, put together some more information, and say, well, if you don't believe us, here's some more information. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are outside of Colorado. I think the Rockies love that narrative of, and I think there's other people too, inside this market, in the media market, and fans saying, man, nobody has any idea what's going on outside of Colorado. I think people do. I don't think they know it to the same degree as those who are here all the time. No, but I also don't think that the fact that, you know, someone from Chicago or Atlanta or San Francisco doesn't know the ins and outs, doesn't know the minutiae of the struggle that is playing at altitude or playing at Coors Field, I don't think the discrepancy between what they think about the Rockies and what the Rockies' actual problem is really that much. I think the issue with the Rockies is the Rockies way more than it is about people not understanding what's going on here, because the Rockies themselves don't understand what's going on here. So I don't necessarily care for that narrative of people, for those folks that say, oh man, no one has any idea what's going on here in Colorado. Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't. There's plenty of sports fans in this market that have no idea what's going on. But to say that a really good baseball fan or that people in the media don't understand what's going on here, maybe not to the same degree as a lot of really good fans, including everyone listening to this right now, sure, you know more than a Chris Russo, than a Mad Dog, right? You know more than a lot of the great beat reporters around the country, but a lot more. And when it comes to the real baseball operations side of things, who knows more? The fan or the people who've been working the beat and understand how waivers works and options and the Rule 5 draft and the collective bargaining agreement? All of those things are just as important, if not more important. Player development, all that stuff. So the Rockies need to address that. Sure, the business side is fine. Promote from within. That's okay. I've still have yet to really see any team outside of Colorado making an executive decision for someone on the business side and go, man, that's actually a really bad promotion. Because it's the business side of things. It's not the same thing as, hey, who do we draft? Who do we trade for? Who do we sign? And, you know, and who do we have as our manager? Those are some serious decisions that can have impacts on the organization and the finances of the organization for years and years to come. Having good promotions or good ticket packages, that's not what wins and loses championships. It's an important part, no doubt about it. For anyone that's in ticket sales, group sales, corporate sales, all that stuff, they all have a vital role. You need that revenue coming in to help with your investments in your organization. No doubt about it. But the Tampa Bay Rays, who, come on, like the business side of things is awful. Things couldn't be any worse right now for that organization. You could say the same thing about the A's. And yet these are two teams that put good products on the field. The Rays are looking to go into the postseason yet again because the baseball side of things is great. The investment that they've made on the baseball side of things is second to none. They've got that down. And that's where the Rockies need the most help. They need to go down to Tampa Bay, knock on the windows of the offices, wherever the Rays are posted up at these days, and say, hey, we will double your salary. Whoever walks out the front door, you've got 20 minutes. We'll double your salary. We'll give you a promotion. We'll juice up that resume because we want to be better on the baseball side of things. Business side, we're already good. But it's when they address the baseball side of their operations is when that's really going to be important. And you really should care more about that than an executive working on the business side of things. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Rockies Insider over on YouTube as well. Thanks for everybody for getting me over the 400 subscriber hump. There's a lot more of you out there that are consuming the content, but got to convert some of those folks to subscribers. So please go over and do that. Let me know in the comments. Say, hey, I'm number 403, whatever it might be. I would appreciate that. I'll give you a shout out too. Why not? Why not? So thank you for dropping by on this audio only edition. Appreciate the momentum and the love, but that kind of love and that kind of momentum is only as good as my next show. So of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.